All right, Dieter and Hutch recapping week 13. 49ers, Browns, and what the tape told us. Jake, what the tape tell you?
So many things. One, I think we should start. Myles Garrett.
Holy shit. Real good.
Real good at football.
It might have been the greatest pass rush move I've ever seen. Again, he Euro-stepped Trent Williams to the inside. What?
Even in a down year. 280 pounds. Even in a down year for Trent, like, no one's done him like that.
Nope.
No one.
No. And I don't think anyone else can, to be frank.
Yep. I mean, that's why Trent was like, it's going to be an issue. I would have loved to see prime Trent Williams against Myles Garrett.
I don't think anyone can block that guy. And frankly, it's incredible that he only had one sack in the game. It just flabbergasting, really, because Trent did his best. Trent did as well as anyone possibly could do. My God, that speed at that size, you think about what, you know, the Falcons gave up 2 first round picks for James Pierce, thinking that he could produce the same amount of speed on the outside as a Myles Garrett. James Pierce weighs, I'm going to conservatively guess, 70 pounds less than Myles Garrett at more or less the same height.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
What? If we do a draft right now, the aliens come to Earth. Sorry, it's like a Bill Simmons line. If the aliens come to Earth, who do we put up as our champion? It used to be LeBron James. I don't think that you can make the argument that it's not Myles Garrett now.
Yeah, no, he has to be on the list. I mean, he can dunk. Like, he's on the list.
I think he has to be one. I think he has to be the choice here. Sorry, there's stuff floating. It's incredible that the Niners only gave up one sack. I'll give you my big takeaway.
Yeah.
Kyle was as dialed in, and we've said this now a couple times this year. I truly mean this in the superlative sense. This is as dialed in as he has ever been. There were so many plays that they called, and I thought that, honestly, Brock was a little too one-readie in this game, looking back on it. He was locked onto a lot of first reads in this one, which is understandable considering Myles Garrett's coming to kill you, but at the same time, you know, not very Brockish. Kyle had such great plays called up because I think he had Jim Schwartz's defense, which is incredible, pegged. I think he knew the tells. I think that Brock has a lot to do with this. And things like that little Texas route in the red zone to Christian McCaffrey when the Browns bring six, that's not something that just accidentally happens. That's something that's called up.
Having that set up where there was like a pivot route from Jennings on the other side of that was just like, just fantastic design.
A-plus stuff from Kyle in this game. Brock was absolute money in this game, even if I did think that he was a little too one-readie. Interesting note, a lot of under center play action on that first drive goes nowhere, and they say to hell with that idea. But mainly the takeaway, and I imagine you're going here, is holy crap, the Browns defense.
It's something that led Dieter and I to just went through over the cap and really looked at it. Never seen anything like their cap situation. What was it, Dee Podesta, who got the job for the Rockies. The Rockies, famously good organization, Colorado Rockies.
I mean, he's going from the Browns, and he might be downgrading an overall organization going to the Rockies.
Him and Andrew Berry have done apocalyptic things to the Browns. They've drafted incredibly well. Like
on one side of the ball.
Yeah, on one side of the ball. Their defensive drafting has been outrageous. And so you go, all right, well, let's go fix the Browns. And then you look at it. And they have 30% of their cap space attributed to 10 players with void years next year, totaling $84 million. Players that, whether or not you extend them, like they're on your books. So that money's coming off. And they have like 244 committed in dead money over the next like 4 years. Deshaun Watson, who is a fully guaranteed contract, hits the books for $80 million next year. So that's fun. So you're like simultaneously, you're like, we're not that far away. And then you realize, they need to fully rebuild their offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is fantastic. You could not draft another defensive player and you'd be fine. Mm-hmm. But you need a quarterback. I'm getting less and less convinced by the second that it's Shador. It's definitely not the little guy.
No, it's not the little guy. It's probably not Shadur. And so, you can tell that people heard that Shadur had a bad game because don't think that he was doing many clicks on
Mac Jones.
They should. Is that in Mac Jones's best interest? Because I do think he gets a little bit of a say.
No,
in this.
Going to Cleveland's in no one's best interest, Dieter. No, of course not.
Andrew Berry should be sent straight to the gulag. That's my official stance. I can appreciate that they've drafted well on defense. I have a feeling that has a lot to do with Jim Schwartz telling them what to do. This is, we talked about it as malpractice. Having now watched back this game, it confirmed everything that we were thinking going into the game.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that we saw Wednesday, Thursday. My God, just embarrassing.
I mean, listen, they've got Judkins and Bond has some explosion. I don't like how they
draft Bond.
Yeah, well, no one did, I don't think. But then they fully guaranteed him his contract as an undrafted free agent. Very strange. Gotta love the
offense. They love fully guaranteeing contracts. When has that ever burnt them?
Only to people who have very, very, very horrifying off the field allegations.
The people that you shouldn't guarantee contracts. I guess they might have a moral or character clause. Hasn't done them any good with Deshaun Watson.
No, the clause is that their character is they have no character, that they're horrible people. It's a prerequisite. It's like Seattle used to sign like every person with like a domestic violence dispute. Like the Raiders have done that over there. There've been teams over the years that always do that. Chiefs. Yeah.
Market inefficiency, one could argue. And yet,
I mean, yeah, if you don't have a moral compass, great. Go get players who are good at football and bad at being people.
It should be reminded, and they will not get credit for this, and I don't really necessarily think they should get credit for this because enough time has passed, but a big part of what Kyle and John were brought in to do was to sort of reset the moral compass of this team, that the Harbaugh era and all of the arrests and the constant off the field stuff, which included Jim himself, not in any malfeasance, but just nonsense, just general nonsense. Followed by Jim Tomsula carnival nonsense, followed by Chip Kelly, I don't want to be here nonsense. By the way, Chip's doing great.
I'm going to check in on Tomsula. By the way, that whole thing with Chip Kelly, where it's like he was getting the plays in wrong. It's like, but was he actually calling the plays? Was he actually running the offense? What was happening there?
Was there a third Carroll son that was somehow on the headset?
There's a lot of strangeness there where clearly they fired him and then leaked out like, hey, he was like totally lost, like didn't know what he was doing.
Old man's losing his mind. Meanwhile, they have a dude who's older than Joe Biden.
Right. And then it's Pete Carroll's son. And it's like doesn't resemble like Chip Kelly's offenses ever that he's run.
I'm sure Tom had something to do.
Get a nice college job, I'm sure.
Yeah, he'll be an OC somewhere in college and be fine and happy. And who's to say where that? He might go back to Oregon, be their OC, because I think Will Stein's taking that Kentucky job. We digress. People do prefer us to talk about the Niners. Yes.
Jim Tomsula led the Ryan Fire to just incredible success. 7-5,
is that still happening?
12-0, 11-1. No, he's no longer there. He is. I don't know what he is. I don't know what he's doing now.
Jim Tomsula, come on, Dieter and Hutch.
We've
never had a guest.
He did not. That would be a great first guest.
That should
Jim Tomsula come on the show.
We have.
You had one guest, I think.
Well, no, that was a different show.
Has it not returned?
That will never come back. We saw what you said. The audience is king. We listened. We acknowledged.
Yeah.
We deleted. We had sort of highfalutin ideas for like, we'll bring on guests and this and that. And then things where it's like, really? Like, should we? I don't know. Like, I'm sure that we can get some interesting insight, but we're not here to steal credibility from other people or prop ourselves up on other people's credibility. So we have a very high bar for what guest needs to be. And Jim Tomsula, I don't think you're number one on the list, but we'll make you number one on the list for that day.
Very high on that list.
Come on, Jim. You want to come on? We'll talk about fun things like the Rhine Fire and the wild success.
What was he drinking in Germany? Like, did he go to Oktoberfest? Are there photos of Jim Tomsula in Lederhosen just downing beer after beer? Almost certainly. Almost.
If you have a photo of Jim Tomsula and Lederhosen, please contact us immediately, and
please contact your local authorities and let us know.
Yeah, those are dangerous photos to have on your hard drive. The Niners. I really can't even take that much away from this game. Another couple things. I want to give some shout outs to Spencer Burford, not necessarily for his overall play, but for his one play, which set up the Niners' third touchdown in the game. His pull block on the 3rd and 5 to get Christian McCaffrey those 8 yards was awesome. That was probably the coolest thing.
He looks awesome in space.
This is why I kind of liked the concept of him as a tackle and getting him out and as a pulling guard, like, or as a pulling tackle in this case, because he really is a good athlete in space. It's that whole tight quarters thing that seems to be a problem, which is not great for a guard.
He's going to get extended on like a 2 or 3 year, like $6 million, $8 million a year deal.
And well, people will bitch about it
more than that. It'll probably be more than Jalen Moore got 15.
Well, he hasn't done as much as Jalen Moore, to be fair. Jalen Moore has come in critical games and played left tackle for a team and won games. So I'm not saying that Jalen Moore got what he deserved, though I guess the marketplace determines that for everybody. But I think Spencer Burford probably will get re-upped, mainly because now he's your starting left guard. Like, Ben Bartsch, spectacular for these fleeting moments. He's like the Hadron Collider. Yep. It comes together for this split second and looks incredible, and you can find so much and you extrapolate.
He just always gets hurt. Always.
It's like you get 20 snaps out of him a year.
And he's worse in the pass game. I think most of the time they would pull him in the pass game and leave him on an island on the right side, like pretty consciously doing that in a way that I didn't see with Burford. Mm-hmm. And I think pretty aware of like what skill sets both guys have, where Burford tends to be better in pass protection because his length, I think, allows him to make up for some stuff. If he's sloppy with his technique, he's worse in the run game pretty clearly, but I think they like his length, and his floor is probably higher than Bartsch's, but like Bartsch also mauls people in the run game.
Bartsch in the run game is so awesome. It is going to go down as a what if for people like you and me who think about what if. For the left guard.
He was one of our X factors, man.
And it's just been a big X next to his name on will he play. There was a combo block that he had in this game that I think it was in the second quarter that was just spectacular. Just so much fun to watch.
He fires off the ball. And it's funny because sometimes he packs too much of a punch. Like he like bowls over Brendel at times. And Brendel's like, come on, man. Pass it off a little better. But
can we shout out Jake Brendel?
He's Jake Brendel. Let me just say explicitly, Jake Brendel's playing his ass off right now. Like
what
last 2 weeks.
What does that mean to you, Jake? Because I know he can play his ass off. Does that mean that he is in fact a good center, Jake?
Right now, without question. I don't feel any shame in saying what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is like he's playing his ass off. He looks quick off the ball and listen, like he's not an anchor in pass protection, but he's not getting bowled the way he was earlier in the year. Right. And his help is quicker. His help is more proactive. I saw him like flatten somebody helping out early in this game and then flying off the ball. Like, are there going to be like errors? Of course. Yeah. He's not a top 10 center in this league.
Well, there are five good centers in the NFL, and everybody else is just trying to figure it out week by week.
He's flying off the ball, and he's getting second level really effectively in a way that, like, he was kind of whiffing earlier in the year. So for a guy who, like, understandably got shit on, like, time to give him his flowers a little bit. He's playing his ass off right now.
That time off, I think, did wonders for him. I can't quite explain it. I'm excited to talk to him about it because now he's getting a little bit more time off. But, he came back from that absence, and maybe it was just we all had to see Matt Hennessy, and it gave him a little bit of a confidence boost of being like, oh, y'all thought I sucked.
God, remember that? Remember when people were like, Matt Hennessy, wow. Like, regardless of what he did, they were just going to say he's better than Jake Brendel because that's how it works. And let me be clear. I'm not a Jake Brendel apologist. I was very clear last year I thought he was playing terribly. Yeah, mentioned it many times. But right now,
like we see it,
playing very well.
He is playing very well right now. That was an outstanding game from him following an outstanding game. I mean, almost an impeccable game against the Panthers. And for that to be the case, when you're talking about the Panthers, who actually do have some meat up front and
what are
provide.
What are the Carolina Panthers?
I haven't watched that film yet. I'm actually kind of excited to watch it. We'll find the time, mainly because you're not going to be around for me to talk to anymore. Yeah. So we will have ample time to watch all 22 of other teams. Regardless, Panthers do have some heft up front. They can move some dudes around up front, but it is not the Cleveland Browns, no. Which I say in exalted tones of reverence towards the Cleveland Browns front. I mean, Shelby Harris, Myles Garrett, Mason Graham, the opposite road to that 99 is really good. Forgive me. Yeah. I think it's
Kamara. By the way, Malik Collins, who's now injured, but like Shelby Harris coming off the bench for them. Like that's crazy.
Crazy. That is and the linebacking core is special. Schlesinger is, you saw it in the game. Holy shit. I know that no one wants to hear us talk Cleveland Browns football, but it like legitimately angers me that defense has nothing to play for. And yet, by the way, has nothing to play for and was still bringing it. If you ever want to question Jim Schwartz, get the hell up out. You don't know what you're talking about. That dude is a god.
If I was the Browns, I would clean house with their front office.
Yeah.
I would get like a cap specialist. I'd bring in some quants and I would get working.
Second place Chinese math competition.
And I would get working. I would get working on the cap. I'd figure it out. And I'd say, Jim Schwartz, you are our head coach.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring in whatever OC we can possibly find.
I don't
know. And listen, I don't like doing it that way because you need an offensive coach, but like, if I'm them, I don't ever want to lose Jim Schwartz.
You can't. Cause it feels like almost like a collegiate operation where he's like taking his players with him. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm taking Garrett and I'm taking Delfitt. And I mean, even the corner that they traded for halfway through the year,
Tyson Campbell. Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's sick. That trade is insane to me.
I mean, it was insane in the moment. Don't get me wrong, but like we knew, I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem like a good deal for Jacksonville. But
yeah, it was for Greg Newsome, where they swapped corners,
yeah,
and then the Browns got a 7th round pick. The Browns gave the Jaguars a 6th.
Yeah, so that's just a 1-for-1 trade in effect. Like, and they massively upgraded. I so wish this was a guillotine league, though I suppose that all the good Browns players would be gone by now since they only have 3 wins, because you could put that Browns defense with any sort of a competent offense, and I might pick them to win the Super Bowl. Like, we watched the Texans earlier this year. The Texans are awesome. This is the best unit in the NFL.
They would just be like the Rex Grossman Bears.
And I think that might be part of why the Browns kept operating in this premise of comfortability, where it's like, oh, well, we can, but like that era is so over. You have to have a good defense to win. Don't get me wrong, but you need to have a good offense.
It's so upsetting because genuinely they do like, as much as their offensive line is old and whatever, they could find the pieces to figure that out, but they just don't have a quarterback and they don't have any actual receivers and they can't pay for anyone.
No,
because they're screwed with the cap.
No.
And it's like they are actually close, and yet they're like miles away.
I mean, at best, given their current circumstances, they can become the Steelers. And I'm not sure that's something you want to be today.
Did you see Aaron Rodgers just get dumped on his face when we were talking?
I did.
Sunday night, I watched the replay where it was just the elder Bosa just slamming him into the turf.
Totally illegal.
Shattering his nose. I love that they like call certain things and just.
Well, not again. Not for that guy. Not for that guy. No. And to be fair, I'm not sure what the elder Bosa, Joey, for the record, is supposed to do other than absolutely destroy that dude. For two very open-minded gentlemen, that was some was some open-mindedness on open-mindedness violence right there.
I don't know about open-minded. Certainly minded.
They're just thoughts. Asking questions, you know? Aren't we all?
Aren't we all? I'm gonna go to the 49ers defense because I basically assigned you offense. I watched a little. I took defense. Let me give you some good. Obviously, Malik Mustafa.
Yeah.
Flying to the damn ball. Upton Stout tackled really well. He popped off the tape for me. I was really impressed.
That's a great call. There were a couple plays that I took note of during the game, and I'm glad that you gave it the full once over because I'm like, it feels like Stout hasn't missed a tackle, which is kind of par for the course, right? He misses like one for every one he makes.
He's, I mean, and all those errors we talked about early in the year, they just, he's gotten picked on less. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still size issues, but it feels like he's figuring it out, and that speed and that aggression is sort of coming together.
How much do you think that is them? I mean, and this is not a compliment. I mean this in a derogatory sense, but they're not, and this is a guess, I haven't seen the numbers, but it doesn't feel as if they're playing him as much. It feels like they want to be in base more, perhaps just because of the teams they've played the last 2-3 weeks, but it doesn't feel like Stout is needed.
Good question. I think they have made him more of a bit player because they started off, it did feel like they started off the season as like, we're playing nickel.
Trial by fire.
And then 75%
of the time, they were one of the highest nickel teams in the NFL.
And now they've gone to big nickel. They've mixed in base more. So I think it's a little bit of like the rookies, like trying to rotate them as much as they can and put guys in advantageous situations. By the way, CJ West was fucking phenomenal in the run game. Mm-hmm. He had one where when he was going laterally, they moved him about 15 yards. But outside of that, if he's in front of someone, he wasn't moving. No. On these double teams, they were running duo at him, and he was stalwart. He was standing there and just anchoring.
Yep.
And I was really, really impressed. And he didn't blow up a lot of plays, but like the amount of value you get from like forcing two offensive linemen to attack one guy and that guy not moving, that in and of itself creates positive plays for the defense.
It's everything we talked about last year. And it's everything we've talked about at times this year when you've run duo at Jordan Elliott again and again and again.
Yep.
The zone run plays are not in vogue, right? Duo is the name of the game. That is a gap run play. And this is it's the exact scouting report you and I both gave on CJ West, which is violent hands, heavy violent hands, can break through double teams. North-south, well, just north, is awesome, but he will just sort of ride with you if it's a stretch play. He'll just ride, and sometimes the pursuit will be there, but he just does not have that sort of lateral ability that I think particularly the 49ers so valued for so many years, and it to their detriment, because you could just run duo at them again and again and again.
It's interesting because it's like I was saying, I don't think he's that far away from being the starter, but it's like there really aren't any starters. Like it's four guys and it feels, I haven't seen the numbers, but it feels more like 25% splits. West probably getting the least out of the four guys. But like Kalia Davis will have like incredible moments and then just get moved 15 yards. I mentioned West moving 15 yards. That happens to Davis 4 or 5 times a game where he's destroyed because he's trying so hard to get upfield. And that creates big plays, but there's a steadiness to West while packing a punch that I prefer a lot more. Also, Keon White, hell of a day. He's fantastic. He's a player, and I'm really, again, it's the thing of like, if the 49ers had all these guys,
say it.
But man,
if he was your second, if he was your rotational end. Okay, so if you had your defensive line, and it is, again, fanciful and ridiculous. This isn't Madden with injury sliders off. But if you had your defensive line, what if it was, is a question that a lot of teams are asking right now, where you have Nick Bosa with his understudy being Bryce Huff. Wow. And then Mykel Williams with his understudy being Keon White, or vice versa.
Yeah,
that is... And also, I mean this earnestly, the best defensive end group in football.
Didn't even mention Yetur Gross-Matos, who...
Who knows what he is.
But, like, was, like, a stellar pass rusher when he's been even vaguely healthy.
The Ben Bartsch of defensive line.
It's... Man. And I... and we're going to talk about this in another video, some of the things we predicted. And if... there was a route where this team was cooking on the defensive line.
But let's pair that defensive end.
By the way, we didn't even mention Sam O.
Right.
Who's been great this year.
Right. And then you add in.
This is your sixth defensive end.
Then you have Collins right in the middle. You have West in the middle. And we've seen growth, though perhaps with Collins, not to the degree that we're looking for. That would have been a great game to pop.
Yep.
Wasn't. Didn't happen. Could still happen. We're bullish on Collins. mainly because you can't teach that kind of size and speed. And like this, I'm blaspheming here, but like Myles Garrett, like that's not teachable what he's doing, right? To be that big and that fast and that mobile and to operate like someone who's 70 pounds lighter and plays at 280 is freakish. Collins, at a very different position with very different responsibilities, has the ability, physical traits, to do some crazy stuff if he ever figures it out. And it's going to be a big old bar to get over. This is going to be that plateau point. But if he ever gets over that, holy shit, look out. I don't know if he will, but if he ever does, everyone in football will know the name Alfred Collins. Then a Kalia Davis is a fun thing to throw in every now and again. Then a Jordan Elliott is just a guy who can give you some reps and every now and again might make a flash play or two, but you're not living and dying on Jordan Elliott. There's so many other guys who have been injured, but like there is their main goal this season was to reform the defensive line. And in a weird way, they kind of have, even though you would argue that their defensive line has just progressively gotten worse. It's not because of bad play. It's because of injuries.
Yeah. Cleveland Farrell, by the way, it's funny because like his reps are like kind of terrible, but no one has a higher motor. Where I will give him a lot of credit is he's very good on stunts. He's very good at crossing the face of an interior offensive lineman before they can see it and punching him square in the chest to unlock. Like Keon White got his sack that way. There's a lot of energy and a little bit of veteran know-how. His technique in terms of pass rushing is pretty bad. Like he's not really doing anything. I'm not that impressed, but like his motor's super high and that matters for a team that like has a lot of guys that are exhausted.
There's a reason that he's still in the NFL. There's a reason he got drafted earlier than he should have.
He tries. Like it's that not matters. That clean, but he tries.
He really hasn't gotten any better since remember him with the Raiders. But
I'm not really impressed watching him play, but he just tries so damn hard. And like, I got to give a man credit for that.
There's a little Ronald Blair in there. Remember Ronald Blair?
I also remember Ronald Blair. Robert Saleh loved him more than any player on earth. He's on the 49ers coaching staff.
Right. So Ronald Blair during that 2020 season kind of went off. I think he had six or seven sacks. Yeah. It was just all heart, baby. And there's something to be said for that, especially when Chris Kocurek is your defensive line coach. It's all heart, baby. By the way, shouts to Bob Beal. A couple nice rushes in this game.
Yeah, a couple horrible ones, couple nice ones.
Yeah, a couple horrible ones, couple nice ones. But at least it has some nice ones to counter it out. Linebacker core. Gifford, second watch, just as bad? What do you think?
Not good.
Not good.
Not good. Not good.
Robinson, second watch.
Not good.
Okay. Anything from D. Winters that popped?
Yeah. I mean, he had one play that I have in my notes. I think it was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It says, my notes say, Christ, in all caps, Christ, Winters, 8:56, quarter four.
I know exactly the play. It was a throw out to the flat, and I think he rocked Fannin. To Judkins?
It was Judkins. And he just...
I'll trust your memory on that.
And I thought it was Mustafa, because I was like, Christ.
Yeah, that guy can really cover the flat. Let's leave it at that. Sometimes his run fits leave stuff to be desired, all this, but that sumbitch can cover.
You want to talk about a revelation?
Flat. Let's talk about a revelation.
Yeah.
I think that Jair Brown is playing really good football. I caveat all of this again to say they have not been challenged over the top. And in fact, if you watch these games back, you notice some questionable safety
that
coverage
Bears
over
game
the top.
Will be really interesting because Caleb's going to chuck a few. And I think they might have a terrible offense and just hit on a couple of those.
I think that the Colts game could be interesting in that regard because you have four really good receiving options for the Colts, even though Daniel Jones has a broken leg. Alec Pierce is nice. I think the Titans game, even though they don't have the receivers, Ward can stick around. He does that sidearm stuff. He's willing to throw it into dangerous spots, often to his detriment. That could be interesting. The challenge is going to come here, but the Bash Brothers, which is a brand new original nickname that I came up with on my
own. Never heard that one.
Never been used in the Bay Area before. The Bash Brothers in the defensive backfield have me feeling confident that the 49ers have something there. Like you cannot go into December wondering who the hell your safeties are And they are not just winning by default here. They have both. Mustafa's played so much better over the last 2-3 weeks. Got all that rust off him. And Jair Brown, he's playing decisive football, which is his issue. And we've complained about it. I've specifically complained about it a million times over. Is I know he's smart. I need you to start moving and stop thinking. And I think Salah described it as fitball versus football. And Jair was just trying to do his fits and all this stuff and just thinking, what's the right thing to do? What's the right thing to do? He's such a teacher's pet. And I'm sure Steve Wilks fed into that because Steve Wilks' ego was placated by that opinion. Robert Salah don't play that game. Nick Sorensen probably loved it because at least someone was telling him something nice. But I think Salah has unlocked whatever Jair Brown is, and that might not still be good enough. But for now, it's good.
Right. And as much as we've griped about Siegel not playing, I kind of get it at this point. Pinnock has been meh. I still don't think he's an additive player, but he was
I like him more than you right now. Yeah.
Again, his size is helpful. I think given that what they're dealing with, the choice between him and Gifford, you play Pinnock in those situations. I get it.
That's where I'm at.
I want to take, I have one more question from the Hutch Report.
Wonderful.
That someone asked me. They wanted me, Sage, appreciate you.
Yeah.
The illegal shift penalty that Kyle accepted that moved the Browns back. It was that third and moved him to like third and 15.
Yeah, it was third and 10. Like, they got the out.
Fourth and 7 moved him to like third and 15 or something.
He accepted they were at the penalty. Roughly the San Francisco 30.
Yeah, might have been a little. Yeah, I think they were in like long field goal range, but makeable.
Mm-hmm.
Wind being tricky. What did you think of that? Because I thought in the moment, I think we were both like, I wouldn't have taken the penalty. I just would have got him to fourth down. But I mean, credit to Kyle for being like ballsy and just going for it and saying we're going to push him back and not allow him to get the field goal. But it was like that could go very wrong for you in more ways than it can go right.
It was an all-time fuck you. The only way that it can be inferred is Kyle just putting up two middle fingers to Kevin Stefanski from across the field and saying, your guy can't do shit. And I'm going to show you just how bad he is right now. I didn't see him conferring with Salah on that. Now, I wasn't in the arena. So like I would have been right up the monocular, just staring right at it. But they were so quick on that decision, by the way, that I can't imagine there was much conference.
They weren't that quick. I thought he was thinking about it. I think he was asking what the distance was and all that. It took him a second, from what I could tell.
It felt decisive to me, at least in the moment, and so decisive that I found it confusing. And again, to be fair, in the moment you're like, what? And now this is a bit of reverse engineering, and hindsight being 20/20. But in my opinion, so definitively be like, no, push him back, get him out of field goal range, and then. Obviously, the defense following through and getting the sack on the aftermath. Like, I just thought it was a big fuck you from Kyle to the Browns and a kind of a tone setting play in a lot of ways.
I'm with you. A lot of good stuff from the 40s.
Yeah.
Not like too much more to like
nothing
learn
fancy
from this game.
Just quality, professional.
Yeah.
Took care of business. They've done that now a couple times. And when you play a schedule that's as easy as the Niners is, just take care of business.
That's what we're doing right now. We're taking care of business.
TCB, baby. All right. We'll talk to you at some point. Jake will never talk to you again, but there will be other videos and you will find them.
I'll be back.
The algorithm will be kind to us.
See you, folks.